And before you sit down, we're going to read a beautiful passage in Romans chapter 1, verses 16. We're going to read that together, so you can feel free to remain standing if you can. Romans 1, verses 16. This is what the Bible says. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jews and then to the Gentile. That's the word of the Lord. Go ahead and have a seat. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. The word gospel actually literally means good news. Good news. And this good news is based on what God has done for you, not on what you could do for yourself. This good news, you can also think of it as a report, that there is a good report that we've got. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of this good report that I've got. And the good report is based on what God has done, you know, for you. Now, this was not a strange phrase to say during the time of Paul, because they would announce good news, and often it would be about the emperor, or often it would be about Caesar. Hey, good news, right? And Paul comes in and says, actually, there is a different news. There's a better report than the one that just says, hey, Caesar's done this, or Caesar's coming to town. Actually, there is better news that's happening, that's happened for you. So what happened? Jesus, in Mark chapter 1, 15, he says, the time has come. He said, the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. Repent and believe the gospel. You need to remember that Jesus Christ isn't just saying, hey, I have come to save you, to take you out of this world. Actually, he has a broader view of this good news. He talks about the kingdom. Now, you would remember, or I would say the hearers of this news would remember what the prophet Isaiah said. In Isaiah 52, verse 7, the Bible says, how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns. Your God reigns. The good news that Jesus Christ is talking about is that your God reigns. This is kingdom on the earth, God's kingdom coming, that God comes to reign on the earth. Now, when you think about God's kingdom, often we think about God's kingdom as like a beautiful place in the sky that we're all going to go to. Hey, when we die, we're going to go to that place. In fact, even in the way that we share the gospel, the good news of Jesus, we often tell people, hey, repent so that you can go to heaven. But actually, when Jesus came, he had a broader view. Like, there, it wasn't to create an escape plan. Like, hey, live your life, and then once you're done, you go to heaven. No, it was actually God's kingdom coming down. It was God's reign coming down. That's the good news. That God's kingdom has come. That he has come to reign, and it is within us. And it's among us. That God himself will be active in the world. And this is why Jesus teaches his disciples to pray a prayer which says, may your kingdom come and may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Like, God's desire is for heaven to come down, that he would reign on the earth. That is God's desire. And so, in other words, you can see this as the fulfillment of God's will on the earth. God's kingdom, God himself being active, God reigning, saying, actually, you've been yearning, you've been looking for a king, and God comes on the earth, and he reigns. Now, the beauty of this is that you and I, there is actually an invitation in this, that as God is building his kingdom on the earth, he invites us to be a part of it, that God wants to reign not only in the earth, but in us and through us. He wants to reign, and this is why, for you and I, you know, when we realize this, those who see the kingdom of God clearly, we will demonstrate the ways of the kingdom of God publicly. If you see the kingdom of God clearly, you're going to demonstrate that, the ways of God's kingdom, publicly. That's why Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God that brings salvation to all who believe, first to the Jews than to the Gentiles. So you need to have a broader view of God's kingdom. But then you can also have both the broader view and the narrow view. And the narrow view of God's kingdom or of the good news is that now because God has come to reign on the earth, what happens to you as an individual? What happens is that you should repent. You should repent because that's the way that you believe the good news. You don't just hear the good news, you repent. You turn away from your ways. You turn away from your ways. 180 degrees turn where you say, I want to agree with God. So I repent of my sin because there is good news. God has done something beautiful for me, and therefore I can't just hear it. I need to respond to that reality. But this is not just something that's just being said as a concept. This is actually a new reality, a new way of life, a new way of life. So you repent because you realize, man, Jesus came, lived a perfect life, died, taking my place on the cross. He rose again from the dead so that I could have life again, so that I could be renewed again, so I could belong to this kingdom, to this kingdom. The good news has come. So now you are a part of that kingdom. And you can only be a part of God's reign only through Jesus. Only through Jesus. So in other words, Jesus is the good news. The gospel is Jesus. And that's why it is very, very important. It's very, very important that we don't tell people what Jesus can do for them, but let's tell people who Jesus can be to them. You know, because often when we talk about the gospel, you know, we see a problem and see how God solves it. Hey, you're looking for a job? Come to Jesus. You're looking for money? Come to Jesus. You're looking for healing? Come to Jesus. And we tell people on what Jesus can do for them. But actually, that's not the good news. The good news is who Jesus can be to them. That's the better news. That's the good news. The good news that when you come to God, you don't find Jesus as the doer of good things, but you find him to be good. That Jesus is not just a doer of good things. He is good. Jesus is not just a protector. He is the Lord. Jesus Christ is not just a provider. He's a faithful God. He is the King who has come to reign in the world. He's come to reign in the world. So let's not just tell people about what God can do for them, but let's invite them to something better, about who Jesus can be to them, that Jesus can be their Lord. Jesus is your Lord. He is King. He is the King who has come to reign in your life. You know, like God is not inviting us to just see him perform for us. You know, I support an amazing team in England. It's called Arsenal. Yeah. It's going to win the league this year. Number two, coming there. Liverpool, watch out. But, you know, one thing that happens with Arsenal fans is that when Arsenal win, we're going to win the league. And when Arsenal lose, it's like, this is the worst team ever in the world. You know, because that's what happens with fans. You know, fans are very shifty. You know, they tend to just watch as far as things are being performed for their good or not, right? And they will react towards what happens. Jesus is not calling you to be a fan. Jesus is calling you to be a disciple. You know, because fans will be shifty, but disciples are called to follow and obey. You know, God is not just interested in performing for you. He is actually more interested in transforming your life. So therefore, as a disciple, he will demand some things from you. As a disciple, he's going to demand your obedience. As a disciple, he's going to call you to lay down your life for him. And when you do that, you realize that actually you respond to that because it is good news. So today, I'm not bringing you truth today. I'm actually just reminding us of the good news that we've got. Because often, we don't really need new truth. Often we need to be reminded of the truth we already know. Be reminded of the truth we already know. So Paul says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jews, then to the Gentiles. And when Paul says, I am not ashamed, it does not mean that Paul will not be shamed because of the gospel. When Paul says, I am not ashamed, it doesn't mean that, okay, now he's going to tell his life so that no shame comes in, that nobody comes in to shame him. That's not what he's saying. Because if we look at Paul's life and we read about Paul's life, we realize actually he was shamed and ridiculed so many times. We realize actually he was stoned, often left for dead so many times. Even he himself testifies to being desperate to a point of despair and wondering, is there actually a point to this? But he says, I am not ashamed of the gospel. That means I will live unashamed of the gospel, even though there are times when I might be shamed for it. Even though there are moments when other people might come to attack me because of the gospel, to ridicule me because of the gospel, I'm not ashamed. I'm not going to apologize to this reality that I've embraced the gospel. Because you see, for Paul, he was more committed to the gospel than he was committed to his reputation. He says, no, I'm going to lay down my reputation. He was more committed to the gospel than he was committed to his comfort. I'm going to lay down my comfort for the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jews, then to the Gentiles. And I hope that you and I can embrace that attitude of not being ashamed. Because actually what you've got is good, and it is good news. It is beautiful news, and you should not be ashamed of that beautiful news. So let's just look into two truths that we see in this passage of, you know, a person who has embraced to not be ashamed of the gospel. How do they live their life? What attitude do they embrace? You know, we are not ashamed of the gospel, this is what we remember. Number one, the gospel is meant to be proclaimed, not preserved. The gospel is meant to be proclaimed and not preserved. The gospel is good news, not just for you. It's good news for all. The gospel is good news for everybody, people around you, people that are with you. The gospel is good news. And our world is in need of good news, right? It's in need of good news. And I know there are moments when we preach the gospel we are like, no, people cannot really understand how good it is until we tell them how bad things are. But you know what? I don't think people actually need to be convinced that they are living in a broken world. I think people know that, you know. People see bad news. People receive bad news. Actually, most people anticipate bad news. Anticipate bad news. But you know what? What they like is good news. The good news of Jesus Christ. The good news that can point them to the person of Jesus. So who is the good news for? The Bible says for everybody, everyone. It is the power of God to everyone who believes. Everybody who believes, it is the gospel. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel because of the power of God, which brings salvation to everyone who believes. Everyone. You know, you're going to meet people that have encountered so much bad news in their life that they feel like there's no point to following God. Like, I have suffered so much that I don't see a point why I should be following God. And then you're going to meet other people that things have been so good for them that they actually don't see the need for God in their life. Both of them, they need the gospel. Why? Because everything broken reveals our need for Jesus, and every good thing reflects the goodness of God. The people that are facing hard things, they need the good news that will point them to the person of Jesus. I remember a time when I met this young person. He came to me frustrated, disappointed. And in fact, he was very suicidal during that season of his life. And he said, you know what, I've just come. I don't even know why I came to you. But hey, I've seen you guys on Facebook and I thought I should reach out. So I came and I started just hearing his story. At that time, he was he was in college, but the person who was supporting him in college had just died that week. And now he had no hope, nobody else to support him. So I'm like, let's look into your family. And he tells me that he lost both of his parents when he was very young, before he was five. So he has struggled through his life living with his grandparents who raised him. But life was so hard and difficult. And then eventually God takes him to college, and the only hope in his eyes that he had was gone by that time. And he says to me, when I look behind me, all I see is bad news. And now when I look in front of me, all I see is bad news. So I'm tired and frustrated. I said, hey, do you go to church? He's like, I've never been to church in probably in a decade or so, just because I'm so frustrated with what's happening. And after listening to his story, I said, you know what? Could it be possible that the pain you've been experiencing has been God's way of beckoning you towards himself? God's way of gaining your attention? Because you've been equating God's goodness with what God is giving you. How about equating God's goodness with God finding you? With God finding you. Perhaps your pain isn't leading you to search for something you need. Maybe your pain is leading you to search for someone you need. And I hope that's something that you can consider today. Someone who can be the anchor of your hope, even in the darkness. Now, I'm not saying he's going to take away your problems, but even right in the middle of it, if you're anchored in this person, your life might actually just look different. It could be possible that this pain is more like a signpost of pointing you towards God. So you've been searching. I say, you know what? You've been searching for things, but the good news is that actually God has been searching for you. That Jesus has been searching for your life. That's the good news for you. So what if you were to go home and consider this? You know, maybe this might just be a turning point for you. So I said, I'll send you home, and then we can meet up again in 2 days, and let's talk. And he comes back, and he says, you know what, I've never really seen things that way. I've always seen that God was not caring, but I'm not actually giving him a chance. I'm like, yes. You're mad at a God that you're not given a chance to. What if we give him a chance? And he gave his life to the Lord. And through that story, you see that brokenness shows our need for Jesus. And goodness reflects God. Reflects God. So you're going to encounter people that are facing something. And it is that brokenness that can actually lead them to Jesus. Not to fix their brokenness, which is actually small. But actually to fix their eternity. To fix their life, for them to receive the life that God has for them. And also we praise God that miraculously God provided for that young man that he was able to finish his education. So we thank God for that. You're going to encounter people that will say, you know what, I've got it all, I don't need God, right? But actually you can start with the goodness in their life, you know, the kind things, the beautiful things that they have in their life. You and I, as a believer, we know that every good and perfect gift comes from the Father. Comes from the Father. That God provides even to the unrighteous. He shows his goodness even to the unrighteous. So we're going to start there. That actually, the good that you have, it is God bringing the good that you have in your life. Because goodness reflects God. So we're going to proclaim the gospel to those that feel like, man, I face so much, I don't need God, I don't want him. And to those that feel like, hey, I've got it all, I don't need him. We're going to proclaim the gospel. Now hear this, we don't proclaim the gospel because people deserve to hear the gospel. Our motivation is not for people to hear. Our motivation is that we proclaim the gospel because Jesus deserves to be heard. Jesus deserves to be heard because Jesus is the one that changes. He is the King. He is the Lord. He's the one they need. Good news. Good news for the rain. Praise God. This is the first time we're having rain on a Sunday? Oh, cool. Good news. Okay, number two. For those that have embraced the gospel, They remember that the gospel is a way of life and not just a set of beliefs. The gospel is a way of life and not just a set of beliefs. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. It's the power of God. Like the way I live my life matters. That this gospel is actually meant to be lived out. This gospel is meant to be lived out. It's something we live out. The gospel is not just something we say. It is also something that shows up in our life. That through our lives, we're going to proclaim and live out the gospel. And Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. That also means in the way he's going to live his life, he's not going to be ashamed. And when you make a choice to say, I'm not going to be ashamed in the way I live out my life, you have to realize that's not easy. Because you're going to find yourself in situations that will put your reputation on the line if you follow the way of the gospel. You're going to find yourself in situations that maybe you might lose an opportunity because you're saying yes to the gospel. You're going to find yourself in places where maybe you might lose money because you're following the gospel. But are you going to choose what's comfortable and what's easy, or are you going to choose the gospel? The gospel is you saying, I want to live a gospel-centered life. That means I want my life to reflect God. I want my life to reflect God's ways. I want to live out the gospel. That means every single day, we need to be asking the question, does this help me live out the gospel, or does this decision help to just advance me? Will this decision help me to proclaim the gospel with my life, or will this decision just help me? And if the gospel needs to take precedence, that your life needs to be shaped by the gospel. That means you're going to surrender your life to the Lord. That you live your life knowing that the gospel matters. The message you carry matters. That the message you have matters. It matters. So, how you do relationships should reflect the gospel. How you do work must reflect the gospel. How you do business must reflect the gospel. How you do school must reflect the gospel. Every area of your life should reflect the gospel. You know, one thing that we know is that our world is not desperate for people who say they belong to Jesus. Our world is desperate for people who live like they belong to Jesus, you know? And in fact, most of the issues that people have who don't follow God, it's the reality that what we proclaim does not correspond to how we live our life. The gospel is meant to be lived out. We are not meant to just say the gospel. We are meant to reflect it. Jesus is Lord, and the gospel is Jesus. Good news. I'm still going to try to compete with the rain, yeah? Final point. The more you surrender, the more the gospel transforms you. The more you surrender, the more the gospel transforms you. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of God that brings salvation. The reality is that you don't just hear the gospel one time and that you don't need it anymore. You actually need the gospel every single day of your life. You need the gospel every day. That we don't just believe the gospel once, we believe the gospel every day. Because we want the gospel to actually shape our lives, to transform us. So you have to believe it every single day. Every single day, I'm believing the gospel. And believing the gospel. You know, some of us have dropped believing the gospel. So now we're carrying shame. Because we believe that we are the ones that can save us. But the gospel says, no, you don't need to trust your abilities. Trust in God's ability to save you. You know, some of us are still living in unforgiveness. But the gospel is that you've been forgiven. You belong to God. Now live freely as though you belong to God. Some of us have stopped believing the gospel because we are sticking to our old ways. The gospel says, repent. There's a better life for you than what you're holding right now. Turn to God. That's the gospel for you. So we need to believe the gospel every single day so that we can allow the gospel to do its work within us. So we surrender to God every day. We surrender to the gospel every day. You know, it's like the difference between moonlight and sunlight. You know, when you're in the moonlight, all you see are the big things. So you see the house, the trees, the cars, big stones. You want to see the big things. But when sunlight comes in, you can begin to see even the smallest stuff, the ants and the soil and the small grasses and all those things, right? You see them. Like the more you surrender your life to God, the more you realize there's a lot of work for God to do in you. You know, so therefore you're going to be believing the gospel every single day, realizing, man, I didn't know there was so much pride in me. I didn't know there was so much selfishness in me. I didn't know there was so much fear in me. I didn't know there was so much shame in me, so much guilt in me, that I need to keep surrendering to God. That I need to keep surrendering to God every single day. And I need to believe the gospel. And the more you yield to Jesus, the more you yield to His Holy Spirit, the more He works in you. So, your response to this is, first of all, to just surrender to God. That's your response. Surrender in your word, surrender in your life, surrender in your deed. Surrender in your decisions. You surrender to God. And then, you make a choice to actually lead a gospel-centered life. So in the way that you're going to proclaim the gospel, I want to invite us to just start to live out the gospel where we are. You know, where we are. You don't need to go elsewhere. Just start from where you are, where you're at. You know, that you can live out the gospel right there you're at. And I'm wondering, what would that look like for you? To proclaim the gospel, to live out the gospel, to live a surrendered life. What would that look like for you? Maybe for some of us is to start connecting with people better. Some of us need to lay down our guns and bring people in. Some of us, maybe we need to actually invite people in, invite them to church, go to what they celebrate, because we carry a beautiful message. Now, this is not meant to make you feel guilt. The good news, when it comes to you, it's actually meant to energize you, to share it even more. And comes out of that place of celebration. Like, I cannot believe what God has done, and therefore I'm going to share it. I cannot believe what God has done, therefore I'm going to live my life as though what God has done is actually beautiful. Would you close your eyes for just a moment? Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, and then to the Gentile. I just wonder for you, have you been living ashamed of the gospel? If your answer is yes, maybe today could be a turning point. Have you been choosing what's easy instead of choosing God's way? Have you been choosing what's comfortable for you instead of choosing God's way? I hope today you can say, you know what? I've been believing in myself, but now I want to believe the gospel. Or are you here full of shame and guilt? Are you willing to believe the gospel that God is merciful, that God is kind, that God is gracious? To forgive you, to embrace you, to welcome you in. Are you ready to believe the gospel? And maybe you can take a moment to just pray for yourself. Say, Jesus, help me. Have you been maybe unwilling to even proclaim the gospel? Because you've been believing in your own power, not in the power of the gospel. What if you were to say, man, Jesus, help me. That I trust in the power of the gospel. for it is the power of God that brings salvation to all who believe. For some of you, maybe just praying for confidence and courage to say, yes, I might feel feelings of fear, but I'm still going to go proclaim and live out a gospel-centered life this week. This is your life. For the good news is Jesus. Now, you could be here and you have not given your life to the Lord. You could be here full of shame, full of guilt. You could be here, you're like, man, my life is very far from God. I have good news for you. The good news is that Jesus has been running after you. The good news is that Jesus has already given his life to you. The good news is that he is ready to rescue, to forgive you, to wipe out all of your sin. He is ready to welcome you in his kingdom. You don't need to run away anymore. You don't need to keep living a life full of shame anymore. The good news is here for you. You can be rescued. You can be freed. You can be freed. You can be freed. If you're here, if that explains you, I want to just pray with you. I want you to just pray this simple prayer. You could be here or you could also be online. Just pray this simple prayer. Just say, Jesus, I give you my life. Forgive me of my sin. Just whisper it to yourself. Jesus, I give you my life. Forgive me of my sin. Jesus, I give you my life. Forgive me of my sin. If you have prayed that prayer, I want to just pray with you. Just raise your hand. It could be here or even online. Praise God. If there's anybody else, just raise your hand. Jesus, I thank you for these brothers and sisters. I pray, Father, that may they know and realize today that you've been searching, running after them, that you're a God who never leaves them behind, that you're a God who has always kept them in your sight. You're the God who desires that they can follow you. You're the God who never waited for them to come to you, but you've been coming towards them. So I pray, may they experience God's power and love, God's grace and beauty. May they experience the newness that comes with Jesus. And I pray for every single one of us in this room and even those online, God. May you help us to live gospel-centered lives because this message matters. What we carry matters. It is beautiful news. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.